Brokaw Show with Anna DeVlantis, yes, right here on 720 WGN. Mm-hmm. Chicago sports icon Mike Adamley is in the studio with us right now, along with his lovely wife, Kim. Yes. And they are involved in the Mike Adamley Project, Rise Above. People mm-hmm. who've been following Mike's story as he has essayed it. It's been, obviously, there's been a lot written about you, but you also have told your story in a very poignant way, mm-hmm. also in broadcast, in terms of your own struggle with traumatic brain injury, CTE specifically, and your symptoms and how you've had to manage this, and your concern for, you know, athletes, specifically football players, but other athletes too are suffering from this as well.
Mm-hmm.
Parents to be knowledgeable about what this is as their kids are getting involved in sports, but also for athletes as they go through their, whether it's their high school, their college, or their professional careers, what the symptoms are, what to look out for, and how to deal with things that might be sneaking up on you that you may not realize are really related to this. So thank you very much for your contribution
to
this.
Thanks for
being here. It's really very, very special. And let's talk a little bit about, let's start with, because your project now, you got two phases. You got the understanding CTE and treating the symptoms thereof. So what explain to us what you can, both of you, about exactly what CTE is. I think people think about traumatic brain injury, but this is the specific thing. This is the mm-hmm. inflammation of the brain, right? And what and how it affects people.
Well, CTE is a progressive degenerative brain disorder caused by repetitive subconcussive blows to the head. We used to think that it was caused by major concussions, and mm-hmm. we now know that isn't true.
Mm-hmm.
So many, many people are affected who haven't had concussions. And what it does is basically your head is like, your brain is like jelly in your skull. And so every time there's a blow mm-hmm. and your brain bangs, it breaks up the cells, parts of the cell. And there's parts in it called tau protein. Breaks that up, kills the cell, and those tau proteins are released. And they start to tangle up. And as they start to tangle up, they get like snowballs collecting more tau, and every cell that they touch, it dies, the tau is released, and so it gradually kills off more and more brain cells. It's degenerative. There's nothing we can do to stop that.
Wow.
And is there anything that, can you diagnose where you are in the process here? Has science gotten to that point?
Well, they can't diagnose that you have CTE. What mm-hmm. what they can do is they can assess your functioning in different areas. They can look at your profile. They can look at your behavior and see, are you manifesting symptoms that we know to be concurrent with CTE?
Mm-hmm.
It starts with, you know, mood swings and rage and paranoia, trouble making decisions, impulsivity, and then it progresses. As more and more of the brain is affected, it progresses to memory issues, executive functioning, how you do things.
Mm-hmm.
So your whole functioning is then affected.
Affected by it. And it's mm-hmm. degenerative over time, too.
Yes.
It starts mm-hmm. in the process of getting your brain banged around, if you will. And then it works its way to all the way to the point at which does this start to, as these tau cells start to, or proteins start to get jumbled up, do they create more trouble there? I mean, is it degenerative in that sense, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't just stop when the football stops.
No, it doesn't just stop because the brain is like a consistency of like jelly.
Mm-hmm.
So if you picture, you know, a bowl of loose jello, and mm-hmm. so you've got these little tau proteins that are tangling now, and they start to tangle up with other tau proteins. And now it's sifting down, settling down through the brain with time, collecting, and every cell it touches, it kills more cells, more tau proteins get collected. And it's sifting down and killing as it goes, getting
so
bigger.
So much to be learned about it, too. And I know more money is going toward research. You saw the NFL pledge $40 million for research, and many organizations are now raising money to try to learn more about what this is. There's also this idea of the movement that children under 12 shouldn't play contact football. And you're seeing that act, the bill being introduced here in Illinois. Many other states are looking at it, too. You hear football greats like Mike Ditka say, I'm not sure I want my son or grandsons to play football. And it's become part of the conscience now, our state of understanding of what this really is that wasn't known before when you were playing, Mike.
Yeah, and when you hear Coach Ditka say that, that means a whole heck of a lot, because I think if you pull all the players who have played the game and they always ask you the worst question of all, would you do it all over again? I said, come on, give me a break. I've made the best friends I've ever made in my life are from the teams I played football with. The best people I've ever met in my life were with, the job creations that it gave to me. How can you, not like something like that or just bash something like that?
Right.
What we all can say is that, if they can find a way to make it better, God bless us all. Because football's not going to go away as it is now.
And do you have any suggestions for that, about how to make it better, how to make it safer?
Well, I think college football and the NFL, everybody's doing as much as they can. I mean, short of – it's a physics equation. Mass times acceleration equals force, and guys are bigger, faster, stronger. Mm-hmm. So how do you stop that? I mean, short of making a Kevlar – race car driver helmet.
May not even do it because of just the rapid deceleration.
Yeah. I think what know your body. Going back to the not let kids play until they're 14. My dad was an all-pro linebacker for the Browns. He put himself through medical school and became the top sports medicine guy in all of Ohio and part of the country. But his whole thing was, son, you're not playing until you've beyond puberty, and when you do go, I'm going to make sure that you're bulletproof, from strength training, long before you even put on a pair of pads and a helmet. So I think that's happening at different levels. And again, it's not just football; it's sports across the board,
hockey.
And the armed services. There's so many. Whatever we decide happens with us, it'll be a small drop in the bucket, but hopefully a powerful drop in the bucket.
How do you feel about the research status at this point, and in terms of ways to deal with this? I know there's been what they think is a fairly major breakthrough just published in the last couple of weeks concerning Alzheimer's. I know it's a totally different mechanic, but Alzheimer's is about plaque in the brain, and they believe that they may have found an enzyme reaction here that may be able to reverse. They found it, at least in white mice tests, they've been able to figure this thing out. They're going to try it with humans now. How far along do you think this, in terms of reforming the brain or protecting the brain from its own self-destruction here, how far along are we medically, would you say?
Well, medically, they're doing as much as they can, I think, to catch up with this disease. The disease is not new. It previously was called, in boxers, dementia pugilistica. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just reached public awareness because of the numbers that we're having in football. And again, those numbers are exploding because kids started playing younger. So it's showing up in more and more people in greater numbers and at a younger age. But research is catching up, but the thing is the families and the wives specifically who have lived with it as the disease started to manifest itself, we've known. We have gone round and round with doctors.
Before this was being discussed, I mean, did you talk to other football wives, if you will, about this? And
not other football wives, no. It's interesting because for Mike, his symptoms started manifesting around 2005. Well, actually, early 2000s, different things. Now that we look back and I know what was going on, and I would talk to his neurologist because Mike was diagnosed with epilepsy in 1999. And that was related to, the doctor says, a lesion from football.
Okay.
But so we had a neurologist, and I knew something wasn't right. There were just weird behaviors, attention problems. And I'd say to him, something is going on. And the doctor's like, no, you just have to stop doing for him. You have to let him do it on his own. I'm like, no, you don't get it. He can't do this. And so this was before social media. When social media, Facebook, et cetera, came into being, we started to connect. And that's when we started to hear, it's not just us. Oh, you're going through this too.
Right.
And so we have a strong, the women of the NFL actually is what it's called, a Facebook group, 2,500 women. And our stories are remarkably similar. Gee. So the doctors now.
And this is people who are at the end of their football careers, right? In some cases, yep. They're starting to see it. You do see people voluntarily leaving the game, you know, because there's a lot of money, right, that's being made in the game now. Certainly much more than was made, you know, during your era and even an era 10 years ago. And they're able to afford it. Guys are walking off the field at 30.
Mm-hmm. So it's degenerative brain disease, but are there things you can do to slow the acceleration?
Yeah. Mikey, can I talk about what we do with you? Because we've had some remarkable results.
I'm a
results.
Human laboratory, right?
He is. but so when the doctor said in 2016, it looks like you have CTE, all the symptoms concurrent with what we know. We research like crazy, Ro, like you were saying. What do we know? We research, and we put together what we could find on specific diet and nutrition guidelines, supplementation, exercise, what kind of exercise, looking at the emotional aspect. So we put together a protocol that was every day. Mm-hmm. We did that for 2 years, 2016, and then had his latest brain scan. Now, in the 5 years previous to that, from 2008 to 2016, Mike had lost 10 to 12% of his brain volume.
Oh my gosh.
And in the 2 years since we started modifying our lifestyle to the things that we know that augment brain health and promote new brain growth, Mike's latest brain scan in December showed no overall brain loss.
Oh, that's excellent. Congratulations on
that.
For more information, MikeAdamLee.org, by the way. It's Adam Lee, A-D-A-M-L-E, AdamLee.org, MikeAdamLee.org, and rise at MikeAdamLee.org if you have any questions about this, because obviously this is the Rise Above project, and you want to get people involved in this and understand what's going on, and congratulations, and thank you for everything that you've done. Thank you for everything you've done for Chicago over your career, Mike.
Thanks for providing the platform, because it's now the hard part comes, and that's to fill this website up with some really powerful information.
Mike Adamley and Kim Adamley,
thank
you so much for all of what both of you have done here. Martyr, what's coming up at the top of the hour news?